Hey, welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Devin.
And I'm Sarah.
And we are back. We didn't have an episode on Thursday, and I missed you dearly, Sarah.
I know. Every time we take, like, even one show off, again, it feels like it's been 84 years.
It's
like
so true.
So much happens in the span of a week. I really fucking miss you. It feels like a void. Also, this morning has been kind of bananas for both of us. Like, we've just been scrambling around. And
Hank is sick, so that's super fun.
It's super fun. And, of course, Devin is still doing all of our outlines. So she's just, like, super mom, super podcaster, doing all the damn things.
Right. I think I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. Super mom, super podcaster.
Yeah, doing all of Sarah's work. Go fuck yourself. I like that. I like it. Just, like, in general. I feel like, and we'll get into this in our podcast, like, last week was, for me, peak fuck this shit o'clock. Like, there was just so much. I mean, there's been so much that has just angered me profusely about the Trump administration, but last week was just such a shit storm, especially on the woman front, and we'll get into that. So actually, Devin, why don't you take us through what we're going to discuss today, because we got a lot.
We have a lot. Okay, so first, we're going to do listener feedback and updates, as always. Next, our block two is just about birth control and the Trump administration rolling back the birth control mandate from the Obama administration. So if you weren't like, hey, fuck this Monday, you're welcome.
Hello, Monday. Hello, 2017. Go fuck yourself.
Exactly. And then we're going to get into some like bits and nibbles. So a couple of small stories that I can't believe are bits and nibbles, but this is where we are in our lives.
Yeah. And why don't you describe just a couple, like just in generalities, what we're going to be talking about in terms of the bits and nibbles.
So white supremacists are back in Charlottesville with tiki torches. So that's great. Just kidding. That's fucking horrible.
Again, fuck you, Monday. Fuck you, 2017.
Exactly.
Fuck this whole timeline.
The darkest timeline of Lost, which is still a joke that I love that literally no one gets, but it's fine.
I know. Actually, one time I was like to Devin, I was like, I don't understand how that connects. And she was like, don't worry about it. This is my joke. And I was like, you go for it. You live your best life. Make your best Lost jokes.
Exactly. Then, you know, Trump has been mouthing off about North Korea. So, you know, great. World War III, blah, blah, blah.
That's like,
I can't believe that's like a bit and nibble story. Let's see. And I don't really want to get into a whole Russia thing. I mean, I do, but we don't have time for it. Mueller and his team met with Christopher Steele.
Yeah.
So, amazing name haver and purveyor of pee tapes. definitely met with Mueller and his team over the summer. Then we're going to get into our gratitude check, which honestly, like we really need, but it's just so hard to come up with good things these days, which is sad.
Well, I like that we have a built-in gratitude check
because
I think it does help ground us in some good things. So it keeps us motivated.
It's true. It's true. And then we have Dickwad of the Week, and it is a motherfucking doozy.
Mm-hmm.
And then block six, we have some action items. So something you can do after you listen to the show.
Okay, Devin, so let's get into some listener feedback and general updates. So what's the first bit of feedback we've got today?
Well, so the first one is obviously for me because it's about pronunciation. from Kim, who's one of our patrons, she said, just a name pronunciation. It's Petrick, not Petrick. Been correcting it my entire life, so it's not a huge deal. Thanks for all the hard work. I mean, it is a huge deal, and I'm really, really sorry. And one day I will be better about spontaneous pronunciation, which is hashtag fake news, but I'm going to try.
Fake news. But yes, always correct us on pronunciation.
Yes.
And that's definitely something, like Devin said, that's important to us. So thank you, Kim, for that. And then JMH tweeted, thank you for not using the shooter's name in your coverage of Las Vegas. And we got some good feedback on that. It's interesting because I had a conversation with a friend about that, and he was just kind of, he was like, I don't know fully how to feel about it, but he's like, I get the point. And so that's kind of an interesting point of discussion. It's cool to hear other people's perspectives, because I think that there's a whole wide range of opinions that are valid. But
absolutely.
I like that you brought it up on our last podcast, Evan, because I thought that was a really interesting and salient point.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad we have this discussion, too. And it was actually something that Sarah and I didn't necessarily disagree about, but it was definitely a discussion, which is always fun. And then Carol tweeted a gentle correction, and she was talking about how we called Las Vegas the worst mass shooting in American history.
Well, it's the deadliest mass shooting, which is what it has been described in many newspaper outlets.
Right. So, and she linked to a tweet by HuffPost, and they posted a video. And this was really interesting, so I'm actually going to go through it. So basically, racism has obscured the actual deadliest massacres in our history. They pointed out four. The Colfax Massacre in 1873, as many as 100 black freedmen were killed by white militiamen. Wounded Knee in 1890, 90 tribesmen and 200 women and children of the Lakota Native American tribe were killed. East St. Louis, 1917, white workers feared competition from black laborers, and 3,000 white men lynched, shot, and beat to death as many as 200 black people. And guardsmen who were sent in by the government to stop the violence actually just joined in.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the Tulsa race riots in 1923, police opened the city armory and 300 black people were killed in a wealthy black neighborhood. So obviously we have a long history of being horrible, horrible people. And thank you so much for that correction, because you're right. It's not the deadliest mass shooting. It's just the most recent one.
Yeah, probably a more accurate description is in modern history.
Modern
and
history.
So yeah, I really love that we got that correction, because right. We have a short memory, and I feel like our country as a whole doesn't have a great understanding, present company included, of all the intricacies and events of our history that make statements like deadliest mass shooting in history inaccurate or incorrect.
Right.
So
right.
Thank you for that, Carol. And thank you to the Huffington Post for making a video.
Yeah. And then finally, we have a little update. So we were supposed to be on Pantsuit Politics's show that's tomorrow, but we're actually going to postpone our appearance until November. And I mean, we're disappointed, but we are still planning to discuss gun control and common sense gun reform, which is unfortunately kind of evergreen.
Yeah.
So we can't wait to speak to them. And yeah, so you'll be hearing from us over there in November.
Yeah, and the reason why we're doing it is because I thought I would be 100% by now, and I'm not. And I wanted to make sure I wasn't pushing myself too hard. I also wanted to make sure I was in tip-top shape to be on someone else's podcast as well. So that's kind of the rationale behind our decision. And again, thank you to Devin for always being supportive and understanding and accommodating my health needs. Devin, I know we live in LA and we don't really have seasons out here, but can we talk about fall for a second?
I mean, honestly, for me, it's about the 5 seconds before Halloween parties, and then I'm flying to see my parents for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I'm coordinating my Christmas and Hanukkah plans.
Yeah.
And one thing that's been making my life easier is this meal kit delivery from Sunbasket.
Oh my God. I love Sunbasket. And like, what I really dig about it for me personally is that both Nick and I are super busy. With Sunbasket, we make our meals together, and it's really easy to do so. And it's just like a fun activity and nutritious activity for both of us to do.
I also like that they have a whole host of options. So paleo, lean and clean, gluten-free, vegetarian, and even family options. And I also love that I don't have to step foot in the grocery store, because I hate the grocery store.
Yeah.
And the meals are really good.
Yeah. And it's really, really easy to make. Nick and I went ham last week and made 3 meals from Sunbasket, and we loved every single one of them.
And you know what else is super awesome about Sunbasket?
What?
So all of the recipes are created by this amazing woman who's an award-winning chef, and she's just a total like boss.
Yes, yes. Ladies in charge. You know we love ladies in charge.
We really do. So if you go to sunbasket.com/hellbent today, you get $35 off your first order. So that's sunbasket.com/hellbent for $35 off. sunbasket.com/hellbent.
Okay, Devin, so let's get into our first big news block, which is about this birth control mandate. So can you take us through the details of what the fuck is happening?
Yes. Get ready to rage quit your life.
Rage quit your life. Oh, my God.
Just like, fuck this. Bye.
Bye.
So the Trump administration has gotten rid of the Obama era birth control mandate. So this mandate basically said that employers must provide birth control in their health insurance plans. And they did have limited exemptions for religious organizations, but then there was a separate fund so that women who worked for those organizations would still get low cost birth control. So basically what happened is Health and Human Services issued new rules that essentially nullify this birth control mandate. Quote, the rules offer an exemption to any employer that objects to covering contraception services on the basis of sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions. And they basically used the First Amendment to justify this. So arguing that the mandate violated religious freedoms.
Ugh. You know what? I have so many fucking feelings about this. Like, this is one of those, like, stark things where I'm like, all the people who said that there was no difference between Clinton and Trump, like, we see it every fucking day. But especially as a woman, this hits so hard. And it could not be more clear that, you know, Hillary Clinton was someone who said that she would vigorously defend a woman's right to her own autonomy, essentially. And, we're just seeing in every which way, and especially in this latest example of rolling back this birth control mandate, how it's basically a war against women. I mean, I don't think that's hyperbole. And a lot of people have pointed it out that there's a 20-week abortion ban that's moving through Congress. There's this birth control rule now. Like, you are trying to make women I don't even have something eloquent to say, but like subject to the whims of men and to the control of men.
Right. Absolutely. Because that's what this is about. It's about control.
Yeah.
And so about 5 months ago, Trump declared that, quote, we will not allow people of faith to be targeted, bullied, or silenced anymore, which is pretty rich considering the first thing he did was institute a ban against Muslim majority countries that had been struck down because it was so obviously about excluding an entire race or an entire religion from this country.
Oh, we all know what it means when they say religious liberty. It's white Christian people, but usually white Christian men.
Right.
That's what it means.
Right. So, you know, Jeff Sessions himself then used that charming quote in his memo, basically instructing federal prosecutors and agencies that employers will now have a wide breadth to claim exemption from requiring birth control in their health insurance plans. And this also comes a day after Sessions changed the DOJ positions on what discrimination based on sex included. The Civil Rights Act protects discrimination based on sex. And the DOJ no longer recognizes discrimination against transgender people to be included in this definition.
So it's just like a triple shit show.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to civil liberties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're just like, oh, yeah, fuck that, fuck that, fuck that. Mm-hmm, and, you know, great. And we're 3 more fuck that's from full-on Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's important to note that more than 55 million women currently have no-cost or low-cost birth control under the Obama mandate. And so hundreds of thousands of women are at risk of losing this benefit under these new rules.
And I will add, too, that there are transgender people and non-binary people who also use contraceptives.
Right.
So, you know, they're under that umbrella as well. But certainly there's just a figurative target on the backs of people who are not cishet privileged white men.
Absolutely. So actually, Vanita Gupta, who was a top civil rights lawyer in the Obama administration, she was the one who kind of said that this is a full on direct attack on women.
Yeah.
She also said, quote, the freedom of religion is a fundamental right, but it is not an absolute right. It cannot be used as a shield to permit discrimination against LGBTQ Americans, just as federal courts half century ago denied the ability of businesses and employers to use their religious beliefs as a basis to discriminate against African Americans. So we're definitely seeing a lot of parallels to, you know, these sort of civil rights violations and how they've been handled in the past and a path moving forward.
Right. You can't just use religious liberty, quote unquote, which is a euphemism if I've ever fucking heard one, as carte blanche to discriminate against other groups. That's that's apparently how it works, because that's Christian white men have been in power, you know, pretty much forever. And we have so many gains that we've made for women that, you know, I think a lot of women who took that for granted maybe are seeing pretty plain and clear that those gains that we've made are not
permanent.
Like, we have to constantly fight for it. And especially when we allow Republicans to rise into power, especially modern day Republicans who just have this moral rot and hardline conservatism that...
Well, and a real contempt and disdain for women.
For women.
And their right to their own bodies.
Then, of course, when they're in power, they're going to go after us among many other groups.
Right.
You know, because birth control... It's used to prevent pregnancies, right? But it's also used for medical reasons. So there's a whole host of medical reasons, legitimate things that women need birth control for that don't have anything to do with sex, which I will also say, if you're using it because you enjoy having sex and you don't want to get pregnant, that's totally valid too.
Like, that medical framing really bothers me, because it's like, yes, it definitely has legitimate medical like applications, and that is completely valid and something that we should absolutely talk about. But like, if I want to take birth control and bone a bunch of people, like, stay the fuck out of my life, right?
No, exactly. But it just, like you said, it goes back to just controlling women. This isn't this isn't rooted in any concern for women's health. I feel like it really, really, really exposes these people who are so-called quote-unquote pro-life, because if you really wanted to reduce the amount of abortions, you should be so fucking gung-ho about birth control.
Yeah, there was actually a study about the link between birth control and unintended pregnancies, and then thus abortion. So a 2012 study of more than 9,000 women found that when women got no-cost birth control, the number of unplanned pregnancies and abortions fell by between 62 and 78%. So if you're anti-choice, you should love birth control.
Yep.
Just like throw birth control out in the streets to everyone.
But it's just, like you said, it's not about that, right?
No,
it's about controlling women. And I think that there is this sort of fear from this, you know, conservative ruling class of white Christian men who see the gains, the social gains that women have made, and it scares them, because we're going to eventually get to a point when, honestly, men are not necessary for us. Like, we won't need men. Like, we will get to that point where we don't need men. And I think that's really the root. And I'm just going to be blunt. Like, that's the root of it, is that they're scared of a future in which we don't rely upon them and we are in control of our own lives fully.
And it, sort of to that point, there's also a strong economical link between birth control and poverty.
Yes.
So there was another study about this link between poverty and birth control. And I'm going to read sort of a quote directly from the abstract of this study, because I think it's so important. Quote, poverty rates are particularly high among households headed by single women, and childbirth is often the event preceding these households' poverty spells. Using census data from 1960 to 1990, we find that having legal access to the birth control pill by age 20 significantly reduces the probability that a woman is subsequently in poverty. We estimate that the early legal access to oral contraception reduces female poverty by 0.5 percentage points, even when controlling for completed education, employment status, and household composition. So there's obviously a very strong link between poverty and birth control. And so it's just another method of control, not just of our bodies, but of our economic sort of progress.
No, of course. I mean, you know, the ability to plan, to be able to plan for a family, really has a big effect on women's financial futures and, like you said, our economic opportunities. And again, I think that goes back to wanting to control women and basically make us just fucking, you know, fucking procreators. And like, that's all we do. We're just like barefoot and pregnant in a kitchen.
Which is three fuck this shits away from Handmaid's Tale, right? I realize that I'm being a little like hyperbolic and dramatic
here. No, it's not hyperbolic. It's not hyperbolic. Like, that's the problem. This is like a full on war on women.
Right.
It's not over exaggerating. I'm just like, this shit just makes me so angry. Because going back to what you were saying about, the link between reproductive rights and poverty, you know, NARAL also tweeted that it has a disproportionate negative impact on women of color.
Right.
There are class considerations and there's also racial considerations.
Right.
And
right.
It's often the most vulnerable women who are the most affected by these restrictions. And it's the same thing with abortion restrictions.
Right.
So when
right.
you restrict birth control and when you restrict abortion, you're impacting the most vulnerable women who tend to be poor, who tend to be women of color.
Well, and, you know, like you alluded to earlier, I mean, and that doesn't even take into account, you know, trans and non-binary people who use birth control as part of their medical regimens. And it's just, it's frustrating because it's always the most vulnerable populations that are susceptible to this sort of control.
And like you said, there is, you know, there are plenty of good policy reasons to make contraceptives and abortion access expanded. Like, there's plenty of good policy outcomes that come from it. Restricting abortion doesn't stop women from having abortion. It stops them from having safe abortions. And restricting birth control doesn't stop, you know, people from, you know, not trying to have sex. It just makes more people who don't want to be pregnant get pregnant.
Exactly.
And it has an effect not just on women, but everyone. It has an effect on families. Like, men should be absolutely taking this personally. Like, they should be just as engaged and just as outraged in the fight for essentially our bodily autonomy. And like, there's, right. I've also seen this argument from dickwad men who are like, why should we pay for your birth control? Like, we don't need it. I'm like, we pay for plenty of your shit. Like, don't give me this.
And you say you don't need it, but then you're like, well, I don't want to be a dad. Like, I want to have sex and I don't, you know. So, like, fuck off.
I know. Like, I feel like, again, I think that women should be able to have as much safe sex as they want. But right. sometimes I think that the solution to this is just to stop having sex with men. I'm like, okay, I mean,
let's then see how long that lasts.
Yeah. Like, we'll see how long you like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Because this is like the tip of the iceberg of why I'm just really fucking fed up with men this week.
Yeah, right. Oh, we've got so much more to talk about. Yeah. That's why we're fed up with men.
When we get to the dick wads, you'll understand.
You'll know. It's a whole barrage.
Okay, Devin, so let's get into some bits and nibbles, which, like you said, it's kind of bananas that we're at a place where, North Korea and Russia and, like, all this stuff is just a bit and nibble. Like, it's just, in any other presidency, I mean, any one of these things would be a full-on scandal.
Well, these are, like, administration enders for anyone except, weirdly, Trump. Like, why are we, you know what? I have questions that don't have answers, so let's just talk it through.
So the first story we wanted to get to is the fact that white supremacists are back in Charlottesville.
Right.
And, oh, God fucking damn it. I mean, this shit makes me so angry. So white nationalist leader Richard Spencer led a group of roughly 30 white nationalists who gathered at Emancipation Park. And this is according to a local affiliate. And actually, I was listening to The Daily this morning. Do you listen to The Daily, Devin?
Yes, I was just listening to it before we started recording.
They were actually talking about this. And apparently, if there's a gathering of less than 50 people, they don't need a permit. And so they were sort of able to just
go.
And, you know, it just says so much to me about how much the Trump administration botched their response.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, are we really surprised that this happened again? I mean, since there was essentially no consequence of their last rally, Richard Spencer was like, let's do it again, brah. And there's still been no, like, consequence of that.
And again, there was a woman who died as a result of some of the events from Charlottesville. last time, and many people who were injured because a car had mowed them down, and they're back. And like, I'd even seen a local NBC affiliate describe these people as like activists or protesters, right. Which is just like the epitome of white privilege. Like these hateful groups, those aren't activists. They're right. Fucking white nationalist assholes.
Right. Absolutely. So Richard Spencer said to the crowd, quote, "The left wing establishment is built around anti-white policies."
Which
he actually said that.
It's so fucking laughable. Like these people, I would like to see them actually be oppressed. And then they can get back to us about what is anti and what is not. Because, I mean, that's just a ridiculous pile of horseshit to say.
It is such horseshit. Oh, and the group also chanted, "The South will rise again," and "Russia is our friend." And to that last one, my whiteboard has some questions. Like, are you saying that Russia helped get the supremacist in chief elected? What do you know? Tell me your secrets. Like,
yeah, it's just so blatant and like bizarre. Like that is just like it's bananas. It's just a bananas thing to say. And you know, one white nationalist asshole has said, "Hello, Charlottesville, we're back and we're going to keep coming back. You will not replace us. You will not erase us." So again, they still feel emboldened despite the events that happened a couple months before. And it's because they do have a big ally in the fucking Oval Office.
Right. Well, and the thing is like that they can say that white, straight, privileged men are being erased is just so fucking frustrating. Like, you want to talk about erasure? Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, I'd like to see you actually oppressed or erased and then fucking get back to me.
Oh, yeah. These assholes could never last an hour in anyone else's shoes.
Right.
They're
exactly.
weak. They're not victims. They like to victimize themselves. They are the opposite of victims. They are perpetuators of violence. And
absolutely.
It's really chilling that we're seeing these groups, like we say, become more emboldened. And it's extra infuriating because this is happening at the same time as the FBI has created a new term for what they are saying is a U.S. terror threat, which is quote unquote black identity extremist.
Right, which is what they're calling the Black Lives Matter movement.
Which is so fucking bananas on so many levels, especially on the heels of Vegas, where another white male terrorist attacked a large group of people and killed close to 60 people. Like,
right.
But you're worried about Black Lives Matter protesters who are just trying to get the equal protection that they don't have.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also, I'm not going to say interesting, but, you know, meanwhile, during all of this, I mean, guess what Mike Pence is offended by?
Oh, yeah. On top of all this shit, Mike Pence is at a fucking Colts game or something yesterday. So Sunday. And he walks out. He like dramatically walks out of the game after players kneel during the anthem. And it's like, that's what really grinds your gears, Mike Pence.
Right.
Not these white nationalists marching in Charlottesville. Not this white male gunman killing up to 60 people. Like, it's players protesting police brutality. That's what really upsets you. I know. So I think it was Zach Braff who, because Mike Pence tweeted something about it. And I think it was Zach Braff who was like, "So you also protested." Like they're protesting and you're protesting. So
that's a really good point.
It was obviously staged too. Like it was clearly meant as a stunt, like a pre-planned stunt. And
a pre-planned protest.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like, you know, Chris Murphy said, like, he tweeted something to the effect of like, "Don't let these conservatives say that they care about fiscal conservatism because this stunt costs like the taxpayers like millions of dollars." It's just like so many shit toppings on so many shit cakes.
Right.
And it just shows how emboldened these white nationalist groups, and they are essentially aided and abetted by top levels of the executive branch of government, which is really fucking awesome. Not.
It's opposite day.
It is opposite day every fucking day of this goddamn era.
I was so frustrated that I actually growled. So that's a new thing that happened. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. Trump is still being an asshole about Puerto Rico, obviously.
Yeah.
Because in his spare time between golf games, Trump has not only managed to call Carmen Yulín Cruz, the mayor of San Juan, nasty, but he managed to tweet even more horrible bullshit, which is like, what? So he said, quote, "Nobody could have done what I've done for Puerto Rico with so little appreciation. So much work!" Exclamation point.
And this goes back to what we were talking about in our last podcast about how everything, no matter what, has to be about Trump and like the great job he's doing. And if people aren't sort of, you know, saying that the emperor has clothes when the emperor doesn't in fact have any fucking clothes, then he feels so victimized that he lashes out and it has to be about him and how amazing he is, because that's the only acceptable worldview.
You know, this tweet also was accompanied by a video of, quote, relief, quote, efforts with what the fake news media won't show you about Puerto Rico as the first slide. And the video basically ends with images and clips of Trump on his trip to Puerto Rico on Tuesday, which, to remind all, was largely covered by the media.
Also, the fake news media, quote unquote, people in Puerto Rico still can't see what the news is covering, really. I mean, I think the last estimate I saw was that about 11% of the power grid was back under Puerto Rico, which means about 89% of people don't have power and they can't see anything from the quote unquote fake news media. You fucking asshole.
Yeah. And then also, let's not forget that Trump threw rolls of paper towels into a crowd at a goddamn church.
Oh my God.
And
yeah.
Apparently, reportedly, he wanted to throw cans of chicken, which, just first of all, the visual stomach turning and the idea of like throwing food into a crowd is so.
It's a spectacle. It's a spectacle. Yeah. He's treating it like a game show. Like that's what they would do. Or like, you know, when you go to a sporting event and they have like t-shirt cannons and they like throw it into the crowd. I'm like, these people need shit. This isn't like prizes. We're not on a game show. We're not at a sporting event. We're not like having fun here. Like people are dying.
The sort of visual of it reminds me of old timey kings who would go and like make the peasants scramble to like get, you know, these scraps of food that he was throwing. You know what I mean? Mm. Like the idea that you like throw something into the crowd and then people have to fight over it instead of just handing it out to everyone. Like,
and especially when they're in need.
It's like, it's not just like this is for fun. Like I'm throwing like Trump t-shirts out of a t-shirt cannon. Like, so funny.
No.
But this is, people are dying. People are desperate. Mm-hmm. You know, so to throw supplies into a crowd like that is
so gross.
It's so gross.
It's vile. It's so vile.
It made me so angry. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm at your level, girl. I feel you. Devin, we have filthy fucking mouths.
I know, right? What are we going to do about it?
Well, I mean, we're definitely not going to stop fucking cursing. Like, that's just off the table, obviously.
No.
But we could probably stand to take better care of our teeth, which is why we're talking about Quip, the new company that's refreshing the way people brush their teeth.
Yeah, so Quip is an electric toothbrush that packs premium vibration and timer features, so all the bells and whistles, into an ultra-slim design that's half the cost of the big bulky brushes. Plus, it's really sexy.
It really is. It's basically like Apple designed a toothbrush, but without like that big price tag.
Right.
And I think you have to see it and brush with it yourself, which we have done.
Yeah. And it looks really cute on my counter, too.
It's really cute.
I know that's
cute.
Like really superficial, but it's fine.
I know. And my the toothbrushes I normally use get really, really gross, and this one doesn't.
Oh, my God. I am a gross human.
You know, the cool thing, too, is that Quip is backed by leading dentists and was named as one of Time Magazine's best inventions of 2016 and made it on Oprah's 2017 New Year's O list, which is just, like, fucking awesome.
Yeah, Oprah knows her shit.
Anything Oprah says, you just do. Like, if Oprah tells you to jump, you say, how high?
Exactly. And so Quip starts at just $25, and you can even subscribe to get new brush heads every 3 months for just $5, and that includes shipping. And they also throw in a new battery for the toothbrush, the electric toothbrush, just in case you're me and can never find a goddamn battery.
Yeah, this is like perfect for our lifestyle for sure.
Yeah, so right now go to getquip.com/hellbent to get your first brush refill pack free with your Quip electric toothbrush. That's getquip.com/hellbent. So that's getquip.com/hellbent.
Let's move on to even more bananas bullshit, which is Trump mouthing off about North Korea again. It's like, holy fuck. I mean, this is honestly getting really, really, really eerie and really scary.
It's getting scary. I'm scared, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, and a lot of people have said that Trump just doesn't really know what he's talking about. And, you know, it's confusing everyone. It's confusing the American people, you know, internationally. It's confusing his own administration.
Yeah.
You know, he tweeted, quote, "Sorry, but only one thing will work," as sort of, you know, with no context or explanation. And
that was on Saturday, right?
And that was on Saturday, yeah. So Jeffrey Lewis, an analyst at Middlebury Institute of International Studies, literally said, quote, "What the heck is that? You just can't parse any of it."
Well, it goes back to, like, we're taking diplomacy off the table, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's not how you should be leading. You shouldn't be leading with diplomacy is already off the table with North Korea. Like, again, the worst case scenario is nuclear warfare on both sides. Right. And no one wants that. No one fucking wants that. But again, Trump, you know, as Sarah Kendzior has documented and as we've talked about on our show multiple times, he's had a decades-long obsession with nukes. And I think even the guy who ghost wrote The Art of the Deal, that author, mm-hmm. was like, Trump will absolutely start a nuclear war over petty shit. Which is, again, what Hillary Clinton was saying the whole goddamn fucking campaign, like, we cannot trust someone who can just, like, pop off on Twitter with the nuclear codes. I mean, if anything, honestly, if there was anything that people should have considered, like, even if they fucking hated Hillary Clinton, it should have been that. Like, hello? Like, what?
Well, yeah, and then so all of this coupled with a gutted State Department, so we don't even really have the resources to lead with diplomacy here, and fast deteriorating relations with all foreign countries, including allies, we're kind of up Schitt's Creek here.
Yeah, and it's interesting because last week after our Monday episode, there was like a whole fucking drama between Trump and his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson.
Right.
Because there were reports that Tillerson had called... First, there were reports that Tillerson had called Trump a moron. Then it was clarified that he actually said, "fucking moron."
And thank you. I love that context in reporting.
We really...
To journalism.
Yeah, that's the Lord's work.
That's the Lord's work.
Making sure that they reported the swear word in front of it. No, but, you know, and Rex Tillerson had this whole press conference sort of vaguely addressing it, but, like, really just sucking up to Trump. So Trump wouldn't, like, make him resign. But apparently, did you know that Tillerson, Mattis, and Mnuchin all have this quote-unquote suicide pack?
Really?
Yeah, so, like, if one thing happens to one of them, they say they're all gone, which is, like, super interesting. Like,
it's also a super reality show. That sounds like a fucking episode of Survivor.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, I think it was Alexandra Petri, who's, like, a comedian, and she writes a column for The Washington Post, who was, like, she tweeted recently, like, does Trump think he has to fire someone every week? Like, does he really? Because, like, so, I mean, there's been so many personnel changes.
Oh, it's, and it's been so ridiculous. Unstable.
I also, in this topic, I want to also discuss, sort of on the North Korea vein, what Bob Corker, so Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, has been saying this weekend, because he's kind of gone studs up on Trump. And again, he's already announced that he's not going to seek re-election. Right. So I think a lot of it is just him being like, I don't have anything to lose.
Yeah, he literally said, "I'm not seeking re-election," and in the same breath was just like all over Trump. And he's really obviously just run out of fucks to give. Like, he's fucking done.
Yeah.
So he tweeted, I'm going to read it exactly. Quote, It's a shame the White House has become an adult daycare center. Someone obviously missed their shift this morning.
Oh, my God.
Talking about something that Trump tweeted about him begging for an endorsement.
Yeah, which apparently wasn't even true. Like, Trump was, like, ready to endorse, but, like...
Right.
I mean, so it sounds like Bob Corker agrees with my assessment that it's okay to call the president of the United States a man-child, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He also... And we bring this up because he also had stuff to say about Trump's quote-unquote policy around North Korea. Because he said that Trump was treating the office of the presidency, quote, like a reality show.
Right.
With reckless threats toward other countries that could set the nation on the path to World War III.
Yeah.
And so Republican senator is like, yep, this shit is happening.
Yeah. And there were also some juicy tidbits from the New York Times article about how he was talking about how, you know, a lot of the Republican leadership and Republican senators, like, know what they're dealing with. They know that Trump.
That's the thing.
Is horrible.
And that's what really grinds my fucking gears.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people were like, ooh, Bob Corker, like, they were kind of giving him props for saying shit like this. And don't get me wrong, I love when people go off on Trump, like,
right.
No matter what.
Especially Republicans like Bob Corker.
But then at the same time, it makes me mad. Because if all of y'all know that this guy could lead us on a path to World War III, then why the fuck aren't you doing anything?
Right, right.
And, like, it's actually more...
Impeach the motherfucker.
Impeach the motherfucker already. And it's actually more disgusting to me... Republicans' enablement of Trump than Donald Trump himself. Like, I'm almost more disgusted by that, because you are telling us that you have essentially known better and you've just gone along with it and you're still not doing anything.
Right, right.
Like, I just, that's what pisses me off about this.
Right.
It's like
you be that meaningful check. Be the meaningful check on the executive branch like you're supposed to do, you goddamn assholes.
But they have this tunnel vision for repealing healthcare, for tax reform, and they don't care about any of this other collateral damage
They can't even fucking do it.
I know.
The Obamacare repeal failed so spectacularly. I mean, it was like just like watching a train wreck in slow motion and everything just blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they can't even fucking do it. And if they think they're going to get tax reform through, there's no way.
But then at the same time, they're able to do all these other sort of like Mike Pence level things, like this birth control mandate and like, you know, what they're doing in the DOJ and rolling back protections on transgender people. And so it's not like they're not able to be effective in any ways. Again, I think these Republicans are like, as long as we have a vehicle. And I think they're also scared of Trump's base. And there's like all these other like political considerations. But I don't give a fuck. Like, our country is on this like high speed train to Disasterville.
Right.
And we're all watching this slow-mo horror show. And all these cowards in Congress aren't fucking doing anything. It's bananas.
Well, and we talked about it on Monday. And this is also something, you know, not... You know, being afraid of the political ramifications, I have no fucking time for. And I will say that the same thing to Democrats when it comes to like the gun lobby and the NRA, and they don't want to do stuff because they're afraid of the gun lobby. Like, fuck you. Do your job.
Yeah.
Seriously. You know, so it's not just, you know, being afraid of the political ramifications is absolutely the most fucking horrible excuse for not doing the job that you were elected to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole idea of representation is that you represent our best interests. And the whole idea is that you do it because it's a call to service.
Well, I think we're just seeing so clearly and so starkly in the Trump era that Republicans put party before country. I mean, there's so many national security implications. At the very least, you would hope that they would be concerned about that. And like Bob Corker said, they know that what we're going to possibly get into, and they're still not doing anything. So... Yeah. The Republican Party can go fuck themselves. That is an evergreen tweet.
Right, right. It's like, come on. Be like, ugh. Okay, sorry. I'm done. okay, so let's move on with Russia.
Yes.
So, like I said, I don't want to get into a whole Russia thing, because if I start, it's just going to be a whole episode. So.
I mean, our whole Slack channel in Russia is just filled with articles, because there's so much shit happening on this front, and we had to cut so much, but we wanted to focus on, like Devin mentioned at the top of the show, Robert Mueller, a story about Robert Mueller meeting with Christopher Steele, and apparently it happened over the summer. So can you give us the details on this, Devin?
Yeah. So basically they met over the summer, and you know, it's about this dossier, the Steele dossier that we've been talking about since January when BuzzFeed published it. Almost all of the information in the dossier that has been made public has really panned out to be true or mostly true.
I'm assuming what you mean by that is, so there has been reporting that
right.
is now public knowledge that
right.
corroborates a lot of the dossier's allegations, but right. not all of them, right? Because
not all of them.
We're not well, sure not, about a lot of them.
It's really, yeah, all of the news outlets always say the more salacious details.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's P tapes. Yeah. They can't prove that the P tapes are real.
I just can't wait till the P tape is released because Twitter is going to be so fire.
Oh my God, Twitter's going to be so good. that's what Twitter.com is made for.
It really, really is. But yeah, you know what's really interesting about this story about Christopher Steele and Robert Mueller and this dossier is that from the CNN story, they learned that the FBI and the U.S. intelligence community last year apparently took the Steele dossier more seriously than the agencies have publicly acknowledged.
Oh, yeah. And I was listening to Maddow and she was saying that, you know, when they briefed Trump and Obama on it, they pretended that the Steele dossier was sort of not being used in their investigations because, yeah. And so apparently they've been sort of
why did they do that?
Because they didn't want to tip off Trump.
That's bananas. Again, yeah. Just that alone, the fact that there's a person, an occupant of the White House whose campaign, if I'm a betting woman, probably fucking colluded with Russia.
I'm a betting woman. I'd put money on that.
Yeah. And they have to sort of do these workarounds because they can't trust the president of the United States, who is supposed to have all of our best interests, our country's national security interests at heart. And it's like, intelligence communities can't even trust this person for obvious reasons,
right.
but that's
right.
bananas to me.
I know. So basically what we know is that Mueller has met with Christopher Steele and is taking a close look at the Steele dossier. And like I said, just the best Christmas present would be the release of those P tapes. So Robert Mueller, if you're listening and you don't know what to get me for Christmas, it's P tape.
You're like letter to Santa is just yeah. like the P tape now.
Give it.
Hey, Devin, you know what was the thing that actually made me feel like we were totally profesh to death?
What?
When we launched our fucking awesome website, hellbentpodcast.com, which is hosted on WordPress. And also, might I add that you did an amazing job with it?
Why, thank you. Flattery will get you everywhere.
Especially with your podcast co-host.
Exactly.
And I would say to any hellions out there who are fancy business ladies like we pretend to be, your business needs an online home and it honestly needs a WordPress.com website.
The thing about WordPress.com is that you really don't need prior experience.
Yes.
People think, you know, building a website is like this big, scary thing, and it can be, but you don't need to hire someone to do it for you. WordPress.com just guides you through the whole process.
Yeah, I love that. Like, you're the tech side, so if I didn't have you, I could definitely figure it out.
Right.
And every plan includes a free custom domain name.
Yeah, which is really cool because I was thinking about it and I have some potential new domain names for us.
Oh gosh.
Like, do you want to hear them?
RussianWhiteboard.com.
Yes, RussianWhiteboard.com. IHateTrump.com.
Those are already probably taken. We have not done our due diligence, clearly.
No, you're right. I think I'm going to do a WordPress.com website and just write Russian conspiracy theory fan fiction. I think that'll be really fun.
I love it. So if you want to do something similar to Devin, get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. Go to wordpress.com/hellbent to create your website and find the plan that's right for you. That's wordpress.com/hellbent for 15% off your brand new website. wordpress.com/hellbent. Okay, Devin. So, as always, we've just had to cover so much bullshit in one show. It's just such a densely bullshitty show. So let's get into our gratitude check. So, what are you grateful for today?
Okay, so as most of you know, we didn't do a show on Thursday because I went to Work It, which is a, it was like a festival conference about female podcasters and women in podcasting. And it was so fun. I loved it. Ugh. It was actually, yeah, it was downtown Los Angeles, which was great because I could drive there. But it was about 600 women who are all in the podcasting industry, everything from production to creative to host. There were indie podcasters, like there were huge companies like Gimlet was represented there. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, at one point Gimlet, like people came on stage and was like, "We're hiring." And they like read out their job things and they're like, "Please find one of us and apply like right now."
That's
like,
we awesome. Want people. That's yeah. awesome.
It was really great. And they had all these programs like, you know, mentorship and Ask an Engineer, which I did, which was great. I got a lot from that. And just talking and just, you know, all these panels on being a podcaster and the technical side and the creative side and the issues and how it can be really hard, especially as a woman. Mm-hmm. And how we've made serious strides where I think it was 5 years ago, 20% of podcasts had like female voices represented, and now wow. we're at 33%.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So it's a pretty big jump. And I think as more women kind of jump into this field, it's really great. But the thing that really struck me from Work It was the culture of support.
Yeah.
You know, there's this idea that, you know, women are competing against each other or catty or mm-hmm. like whatever. But it was very much it felt like other women lifting women up.
Yeah.
Right. And everyone wanted to support and mentor and share their knowledge. It was really great. And then there was also one panel was Pitch It. So 5 people got picked to pitch their podcast on stage in front of everyone.
Nice.
And I was just so struck by like the support from the audience and the bravery of those women and the thoughtful feedback that, you know, these kind of female executives in the podcasting world gave. And yeah. It was truly a positive experience. And it just made me so grateful to be in this position and for this to be my job.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. It was great.
I love doing this with you and having this be my job as well. And I'm so bummed that I couldn't go with you, but it sounded amazing.
It was amazing. And, you know, the other thing is, I always say this, but the best part of my job is getting to speak with intelligent, engaged women all the time. You know, not just you as my co-host, though I do, but also, you know, we do these great interviews and, you know, we interact with our listeners who are brilliant.
Yes,
and
I know.
It's just, it's so great.
So smart. Hellions are so fucking smart.
And Hellions
so,
are the
so
best.
Awesome. Yeah. Y'all are the best.
Yeah. So, Sarah, what are you grateful for today?
Well, you know, you've had a few really amazing Hillary Clinton related gratitude checks.
I have, yeah.
The last few podcasts, and it's my turn now, bitch.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So I am grateful. Actually, I'm grateful for a segment on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Yeah.
That he did with his female writers where they wrote these like really cute and funny thank you notes to Hillary. I haven't forgiven Jimmy for tussling Trump's hair. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not forgotten about that. I just really love this segment. And you know, she's like, Hillary's been all over the place and like basically been getting hero's welcomes everywhere. Like if you like watch all her late night appearances, like she gets like standing ovations and like people are just like whooping it up. And so, yeah. So last Wednesday she went on, Jimmy Fallon. And I just want to read some of the quote unquote thank you notes that some of the female writers wrote. And then there was also one from Miley Cyrus, because I guess she was a guest on the show. And so she did the last one, and hers like really made me cry. But okay, so the first one was, quote, "Thank you, Hillary Clinton, for handling this transition with more grace than I could have ever imagined. That being said, call me day or night and I will be there with a gallon of ice cream and 2 spoons to tell you, girl, you are so much better than him." Which so I love. Good. It was so funny. This one I think was my favorite.
This one was my favorite.
Yeah. She said, "Thank you, Hillary, for always sticking to the issues, even as people criticize you for superficial things like your hair, your wardrobe, and your appearance. You show girls everywhere that politics isn't a popularity contest. Because if it were, You would have won by about 3 million votes. Which is just like, oh, LOL sob.
LOL sob. Yeah, like too real.
And then Miley had a great one. And she was choked up from the very beginning. Like, she had to, like, start it. She did the first sentence, and then she had to, like, start over because she was so choked up. Which just, like, gave me feels. But she said, quote, "Thank you, Hillary, for being a constant beacon of strength, hope, and determination for me and millions of other young women. You've been a role model and an inspiration and a voice of reason in uncertain times. I could go on and on, but I'd like to get right to the point. Can I give you a hug?" And then it was just like, ah, like I melted into a puddle of tears.
I know.
And then Hillary did one too. She said, quote, "Thank you, Miley, the Tonight Show writers, and all the women and young girls out there. You are smart, strong, and deserving of every opportunity. Together, we've made our voices heard. We've done great things, and we've come a long way. But as Miley might say, we can't stop, and we won't stop."
Oh, I love that.
Which I just love. I love it. I love it's just that. Like your nerdy grandma making a pop culture reference. It's just like, I'm all about that. But honestly, it's just like, I love that because I feel like for pretty much, you know, during the election and after the election, like Hillary Clinton supporters have been totally fucking silenced and erased. And like, we don't exist there's no one who's like actually enthusiastic about Hillary or who was excited about her campaign about the prospect of her presidency. And I just love, you know, women, just this space for women to say, no, we are so grateful to Hillary Clinton and she means so much to us, and I just loved it. It just, like, gave me all the feels, so.
Yeah, well, also, it really spoke to me because I wrote Hillary a thank you letter and sent her flowers after the election.
I have not been able to bring myself to do that yet. I have so much I want to say, and I haven't been able to put it in sort of, like, a coherent structure.
Yeah, well, mine was a really short, it was, like, a card, and I just basically said, like, thank you for running, for doing this, and even though, you know, you lost, we lost, we didn't lose.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, one of the writers was like, thank you for being the Hillary Clinton of American politics. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, like, thank you for being like a trailblazer. And like, no matter, there are people who have complicated feelings about Hillary Clinton, which is totally fine. But like, there's this word that Laverne Cox uses, possibility model, which I think is like a better word than role model. Because role model sort of has this connotation of being like this, like, picture perfect, you know, no flawed, zero flaws, all this stuff, where I feel like possibility model is like, there are people out there that show you what can be done and who are inspirations for what they have achieved. And
you can use that as a template to make it your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I'm grateful for today.
I love
I know. I love her. So why don't we get into our listener gratitude check? And it is from Elizabeth. So what did Elizabeth tell us, Devin?
She said, quote, "Friends, I am checking in with a listener gratitude check. I just started a 3-month paid sabbatical from my work. I love my job, but after 15 years of hard nonprofit lawyering for low wage folks, I needed a break. My amazing union, ESC Local 20, and my fabulous colleagues at Legal Aid at Work made this break possible for me. So ready to go back with renewed purpose fighting for justice in 2018.
I love that.
I love that too. I also love that she's a nonprofit lawyer who works for social justice.
Yes.
And, you know, I love that.
Yeah, and I think it's great that she has the opportunity to take a sabbatical. We talk about self-care a lot and making sure you are, you know, energized for the fight. And she's been fighting the good fight, it sounds like, for a long time and deserves a little break. So I'm excited for you, Elizabeth, and I'm excited for you to be back in full force in 2018. Okay, Devin, so let's get to our dickwad of the week. And I just want to preface this by saying white men are canceled effective immediately. Like, that is my takeaway from this whole entire past week. And so who is our dickwad of the week?
Okay, well, so it was specifically Harvey Weinstein, but in general, it was quote-unquote progressive men that are trash. Like you said, they're canceled, we're done.
And also, I will say, like, the men who enable these men.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
this whole system that allows men like Harvey Weinstein to operate the way he does and to harass and abuse so many women.
Right. So basically, the New York Times reported that Weinstein has been paying off women over sexual harassment accusations for decades. Mm-hmm. And we can just file this under things that don't surprise me even a little bit.
Well, and that's the thing. It was an open secret in Hollywood.
Okay. So for that years. Is right. So that is sort of the background of why this is so horrible. So this also came to light. There was a memo written by a junior executive at Miramax, and she kind of summed up the power dynamics of the situation perfectly. She said, quote, "I am a 28-year-old woman trying to make a living and a career. Harvey Weinstein is a 64-year-old world-famous man, and this is his company. The balance of power is me, 0, Harvey Weinstein, 10.
Yep. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, men like Harvey Weinstein are allowed, again, like I said, to operate kind of in full view.
Right.
And because, you know, they are of business value to
right.
the companies they run or to the industries they're in. And so that's why women have to operate in these sort of whisper networks, because
right.
Women like this 28-year-old junior executive don't have the power. The balance of
right.
power is totally off. And so the power that women a lot of times have to yield is the power of communication with other women and warning other women about these men. And there was a writer for Mike who said, she summed it up perfectly. She said, the reason why Harvey Weinstein was an open secret for years and no one did anything is because no one listens to or believes women. And that's
right.
just really what it comes down to.
Well, absolutely. And it was also seen as this, like, the price of working with Harvey Weinstein. Like, mm-hmm. he's this big star maker, you
mm-hmm.
know, he did these movies and you know, people, he was respected. And
mm-hmm.
so it was sort of like, not only are they not listening to women, but it was also like, well, yeah, that's how it works. And it's like, but why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fucking awful. Like, mm-hmm. I don't accept that.
Yeah.
And I think this is also an example of about how, you know, men in power can manipulate the system.
Yeah.
You know, so they said about Harvey Weinstein, quote, "In public, he presents himself as a liberal lion, a champion of women, and a warrior of not just a winner of not just artistic, but humanitarian awards." So this common theme can be seen in all sorts of powerful men in the progressive media. It actually recently came to light that the managing editor at Vice's women's site broadly, Mitchell Sunderland, was in an email chain with Milo, what's his butt, and Ann fucking Coulter.
Yeah, and he actually said about Lindy West, like, to Milo, like, go after this fat feminist, or, like, go
right.
ahead and mock this fat feminist. And
yeah.
meanwhile, was once the managing editor of a women's news site that's
right.
supposed to be about, like, you know, progressive women's issues. And in back channels, he is encouraging fucking Nazis to go after feminist women. And it's like,
right.
I mean, that sound you hear is no woman being surprised that a left-leaning man can be an asshole piece of shit.
This is so frustrating because it makes it so difficult to trust progressive male allies.
Yeah.
You know, one high profile progressive male ally after another, and I'm looking at you, Joss Whedon, fuck you. have been exposed as wolves in sheep's clothing. So Sadie Doyle wrote a great piece for Elle, and this quote, like, really hit me.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote, quote, "Harvey Weinstein is one of Hollywood's most reliable Democratic donors and a famed fundraiser for progressive causes. He supported Hillary Clinton, joined a local women's march in January, is reportedly working on an anti-Trump documentary with progressive stalwart Michael Moore, and takes time in his own statement to specify that he's, quote, organizing a $5 million foundation to give scholarships to women directors at USC.
He's, like,
all
really checking all those, like, boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Look at me, I'm an ally. Nope, actually, I'm a piece of shit.
Well, yeah, so this is the quote that really got me.
Mm-hmm.
She said, quote, "All of which means precisely nothing. The fact that some predators can speak the language of feminism only demonstrates the evolutionary importance of camouflage."
Oh my God, that quote, I was like fist pumping. I was like,
I know.
That's exactly it. And, you know, it's not to say that, you know, obviously that it's not to say that men shouldn't identify as feminists. I do think
right.
that there is some power in casually identifying it, but not making it. I find that the men who, like, really lead with a heavy feminist foot and, like,
oh.
want you to know that they're feminists,
not
I tend to be very suspicious, because I find that it's usually is mostly about their own sort of personal brand and
right.
like worrying about how people see them versus actually like caring about the issues. And right. I think it was Imani Gandhi who tweeted something like, the most feminist men I know haven't like told me, essentially, they've just right. shown me. And I completely agree with that. You just, the best men, the most quality men, the most feminist men just completely exude it from their actions and how they absolutely. Treat women, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also worth noting in this whole story that people want Hillary Clinton to make a statement on Harvey Weinstein, and she does not need to say anything. And calling for her to do so is another example of making women responsible for men's bad behavior. And y'all can fuck right off with that one.
Oh, yeah. I've seen so many men in media be like, why hasn't Hillary Clinton said anything? And it's like, it's not her job. Like,
not her job.
It's, again, like you said, it's not on her or honestly any other woman to explain right. away a man's behavior.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And, you know, I just find it especially rich given that the 1 year anniversary of the Access Hollywood tape.
Right.
It was this weekend.
Just recently, yeah.
I'm like, y'all have not learned anything from Grab 'Em by the Pussy. And like, you know, apparently all the late night talk shows that are all fucking hosted by men essentially ignored it. They have like, I haven't, from what I understand, the only high profile man in Hollywood who has spoken out about this is Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where are the men? Where are the right. men in Hollywood? Like, it's right. complete and utter silence. And I think that says a lot. Harvey Weinstein did end up eventually getting fired.
Right.
And, you know, it's because all this stuff came out publicly. I mean,
fired because of what he did. He's fired because he got caught.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that the Weinstein company had no idea about any of this.
No, they knew.
They're just reacting to the fact that the public has found out and has reacted in kind. And
right.
yeah, I mean, it's just this is not an outlier. I mean, this right. is across industries. There are shitty men everywhere, and the women yeah. in those industries all know about them. If you're a shitty man and you don't think women know about you, I've got a bridge to sell you. Like,
we know,
we fucking know about you. And
yeah.
you know, I thought it was also really rich that there were people who were like trying to create a false equivalence between Republicans and Trump and Weinstein and Democrats. I'm like, listen, like, we can recognize that left-leaning men can be pieces of shit. Like, that's
sure.
not a surprise to any of us, at least to
but
women.
We don't nominate them for president.
But we don't nominate them for president. We don't support them for president. So don't you
right.
fucking tell me that Democrats and Republicans are the same. It's just,
right.
it's bananas to me. I'm like, y'all are going to kill us with false equivalents. Like, I need you to stop. It's just a shit week. It's just, it just goes to show how fucking disrespected women are across
oh, yeah.
every sector of society.
Yeah, and it's just, and it, you know, it's one of those weeks that just makes you tired down to your bones. These are the weeks where it's hard for me to keep going and for me to say, like, this is salvageable. I know that it is, and I know that, you know, we need to stay vigilant, but, you know, it's just one of those weeks where you're like, I'm just gonna knock it out of bed instead.
You know what? It just makes me even angrier and more motivated. Like, I have like an opposite
yeah.
reaction. I'm like, I'm ready to fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
And it's like, listen, if 2017 is going to be the year where trash men get exposed, then fucking
right.
hallelujah.
Right. And then 2018 can be the year that we, you know, fucking
take
up.
Back Congress.
Yeah. Take back yeah. Congress.
Okay, Devin. So let's get into some action items. It's been, again, a packed show, but what are some things that our hellions can do after they listen?
Okay, so Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands still need our support. You can donate to Puerto Rico at United for Puerto Rico, which is unidosporpuertorico.com/EN, and usvirecovery.org for the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely keep Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands at the top of your minds, because again, the fucking occupant of the White House isn't doing jack shit.
Right.
Also, call your senators. So Lindsey Graham has said that he will introduce the 20-week abortion ban in the Senate since it's already passed the House. So light up their goddamn phones and don't let them continue onward with their war on women. Cause it is a war on women. That's just
right.
I don't think it's hyperbolic. I think that's exactly what's happening. So fivecalls.org is a great resource, or you can go to whoismyrepresentative.com if you don't yet know who your representative is. But yeah, just really put up a big fight and a big stink over this.
Yes. Another one that we haven't really talked about a lot, but I don't think we mentioned it earlier, but in response to the rolling back of these birth control mandates, I believe Massachusetts and California attorney generals are suing the administration over this new policy. So what you can do is call your attorney general and ask what they're doing to fight these new HHS rules.
And this is on contraceptives.
This is on contraceptives. So, rolling back this birth control mandate.
And I will say also that the ACLU, I believe, is suing over this.
Right. So you can tell your AG to jump in too. They are also elected officials. I think people forget this. Mm-hmm. They are on the ballot. So, this isn't exactly a normal elected official to call, but I did find a website that tells you who your AG is and how to contact them. It's a really long URL, but if you go to naag.org, they have all of the information, and I think they probably don't get a lot of phone calls. So let's call them and tell them that they should jump into the fray.
Yeah, I love that. And then finally, one of our hellions put this on our radar. There's a petition for voting rights in the state of Florida. So the petition says, in order to make sure that the Voting Restoration Amendment appears on the 2018 ballot, we need to collect petitions from nearly 700,000 Florida voters. Every signature counts, so make sure to let your voice be heard. So you can go to floridarrc.com/volunteer for instructions on how to sign. So thank you to the hellions that pointed us to that. We really care about voting rights. We think it is the absolute bedrock of democracy. And
100%.
And, we're seeing this administration try to roll them back even further. So any sort of statewide and local initiatives that you can participate in for voting rights, we absolutely encourage you to do. Devin, as always, a packed show. Also, you're doing an amazing job with our outlines. And I know I've said that a couple times, but I want to keep saying that because you really do an amazing job. And also, we have a little research assistant.
Yes.
Varsha. So thank you to Varsha. Shout out to Varsha for helping us out.
I literally could not do these outlines without her.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm so bullish to get back to full strength so I can, sort of contribute more fully. But I so appreciate you. And I'm just always grateful for your partnership because you're amazing. And especially amidst these like very dark and uncertain times, it's just really nice to have someone like in your corner,
Yeah, that's true. I was talking on International Podcast Day about how I was really depressed after the Nixon Carter Ford mistake. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to tell you. but I remember I was like really down on myself and I was like, maybe I'm not smart enough to do this.
Nope.
And Sarah's response was, shut up and get back on the air. So it's really great to have like supportive female team behind you.
It's been really helpful for me. It's kind of a funny cliche at this point, but like carry yourself with the confidence of a mediocre white man. And that's the mindset I'm putting myself in. Like, how would a white man react to this? Like,
right.
I'm not saying we should do the things that they do that are annoying, like double down on bullshit. But I'm saying like when you make tiny mistakes, like get the fuck back up and believe in yourself and have confidence. And I full on tell men they're wrong on Twitter like all the time, which is really fun. I'm just like, nope, you're wrong.
Yeah. And then like mute and block. So it's like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your response.
Actually, you know what's also like their kryptonite is when you tell them they're boring. Like,
yes.
That it's just like, oh, yawn.
That's my favorite thing to do.
It's just like, I've heard this shit like 7,000 times before. This is nothing new. This is nothing edgy. You're boring me. Like, this is a waste of time. They fucking hate that. They're like, what?
I know, it's so good.
Aren't I the best thing to ever happen to you? And you're like, yeah. You're
uh-huh. Really no. Well, so that was a great show, and thank you so much for listening, and we will be back here on Thursday.